Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley, a Sports Scales of Truth, our weekly NFL prediction show, now on about week four, maybe something like that. And so with that, and for week eight NFL predictions, alongside is my nephew, DeMarcus. How's it going, DeMarcus?
It's going so well. Can't wait for this week.
All right. So let's get into how we did in week seven. Well, we tied. For once, I tied with you. But it could just be because a lot of favorites won. We both went 12-3. And so that's pretty good. Pretty good. But on the other hand, 14 favorites won. So, but the thing about that is, you know, we have that our own limits there on what we're picking as far as picking underdogs. And I'm changing that yet again because I believe in iterative improvement. So there was no reason really to worry about, since we're not counting. I mean, later on we might add as a stat for interest, but we're not really counting how we're doing against the spread. So because of that, last week's rule was to two must be underdogs winning outright, but five total underdogs versus a spread. We don't need that because we don't count against it. It ends up being the same thing. So the new rule, DeMarcus, is pretty easy. It's just that we have to pick some underdogs, I'm going to tell you the number, to win outright. So as I looked in NFL research, underdogs win outright approximately one-third of the time. I wouldn't have known that. I might have thought it was 25-30%. So we're not going to try to pick the underdogs one-third of the time, but to keep us honest, let's go with greater than or equal to 25%. And that's rounding based.
Sounds
on,
good.
So that's rounding based on the games on the slate. So for it turns out that for slates of 14 through 16 games, that's we're picking four underdogs. And then we don't have to worry about that whole thing of versus the spread. And if it were ever to get to a 13-game slate, which I think we are this week, we only have to pick three. This is whether it rounded up or rounded down as far as, you know, how many games 25% ended up being equal to. And I think it is a 13-game slate this week, now I think about it. So we'll only have to pick
three. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's 13.
Yeah, so details last week very quickly. Won't go through it as much, but we disagreed on Steelers-Bengals. You won that. That was a Thursday night game we discussed already when the Bengals won. We agreed on Rams over Jaguars, Chiefs over Raiders, Panthers over Jets, Browns over Dolphins, and Patriots over Titans, and Bears over Saints, and all of those teams won. Eagles-Vikings, we disagreed. I picked the Eagles, you picked the Vikings, and the Eagles did win there. Kind of close, but they still end up winning by six. It was... Eagles are not super impressive yet. Wait a second, did they just play on Thursday? No, they didn't play on Thursday, right?
The Vikings did.
Yeah, the Vikings
did.
You're
thinking of the Vikings. Yeah, they just got obliterated.
We'll touch on that, because we did pick Thursday Night Football. So Eagles-Vikings, we disagreed there, but you made up for Giants. We both lost because we thought the Giants would beat the Broncos. And I've almost done it about five times an episode on how that really wasn't that impressive. It really should have been. It's still a nice comeback attempt, but a loss if the Giants had any kind of a management culture whatsoever. And that's what really happened. That's where, to me, the headline for the Giants-Broncos is Broncos down 19-0 after three quarters. That's what it really is as far as I'm thinking of it functionally. And then it would have been tried to mount an unsuccessful comeback is what it would have been. But because the Giants just don't have a culture yet for winning, they just don't do things well like those last P's and Q's at winning cultures like the Eagles and the Chiefs do and the Bills when they're really on a roll. And so they don't really think of the P's and Q's of clock management. And hey, how about your young guy doesn't throw low probability, long distance throws when you need the clock to keep running? Yeah, you want to score, but don't throw over and over deep passes. Go get 7 yards on 1st and 20, that type of a thing. So the Broncos won there, but we were right. The Giants really could have beat them. But we did lose there. Colts, Chargers. We both had the Colts, and that was true. Packers, we picked Packers over Cardinals. This one we disagreed on, Commanders, Cowboys. I had the Commanders. I think it was kind of a late pick for me to change it, but that doesn't matter. I still picked them. And the Cowboys did win there, and it was a giant, decisive win, 44 to 22. 49ers, Falcons is the last place where we disagreed, in that I picked the 49ers, you picked the Falcons. And I just believe that the 49ers was, it was just a culture game. It reminded me in a way of, and I was at first I said, what am I doing? They got Bijan Robinson over there. I'm in trouble. And then, it turned out okay. But to me, the parallel was Detroit thinking they're the new dog. And I mean, they're a lot more established than the Falcons, but it's a microcosm. You're going to come in and beat up on the Chiefs. No, you're not. And in the same way, it's like the Falcons are like, hey, they got a nice team this year. And you're coming into an injured 49ers deal, but you're coming into the 49ers and they have a culture and they find ways. And so that's why I hoped on it. But then as soon as I thought about the personnel, I'm like, what am I doing? But I happened to win on that one, 20 to 10. Falcons, actually, I don't know if I had this game, but it turns out as good as they are in offensive production yardage, they're not very good at scoring. And this is just another example of that. Buccaneers, Lions, we both picked Lions, and that was you thought it'd be a little closer. No, you didn't. You thought it would be a beat down too.
I predicted that it was going to be, I think I said Lions by 13, and
Yeah, you
everybody's
did.
going to overreact, and they are overreacting. Nobody realizes you can't throw to a lack of three receivers and have be missing your running back and do very good against a Super Bowl team. Like, it's fine. They're going to have a bounce back against New Orleans this week, probably drop 60 on them.
Yeah, so Texans, Seahawks, then we both picked the Seahawks, and that was the Seahawks were favored. So as far as the favorite winning, only the favorites who lost were the Steelers lost, and I got that wrong. Were the Chargers favored? My list says they were favored.
Yeah, probably. They
Those
were
were
at home, were they not?
they were at home. So it was probably barely. It was 1.5. So those were the only favorites that lost. Thursday night football, Vikings at Chargers. We were both hoping because we're Chiefs fans that the Chargers would have a hard time and the Vikings would somehow do it. But that said, we both picked the Chargers, and that was an easy win. I looked at Minnesota and going, man, where they've won, it's been close, and Wentz is going to Wentz eventually. And he kind of has. And so I think the Vikings, if I looked, it had like two turnovers, like 3 games in a row. So that's not going to do against the Chargers, who can get right on occasion. I don't know if you have any thoughts on the Vikings and Chargers, but they can roll at home, and the Vikings just have, oh, one other thing I'll say is that, man, Wentz cannot get it to Justin Jefferson. He threw it like maybe twice in the second half. He got some good yardage in the first half, but you double him, then you got to worry about Addison. But I just don't think Wentz is very accurate. So Justin Jefferson only got one catch in the second half for 2 yards when you're trying to come back. So that tells me you are not able to get him free, or he's double teamed, or Wentz can't get it to him. Some combination thereof. So that's a stark thing for me that he should be weapon number one, and you need to take out of the page of Flacco to just give it to your guys, man. You find out you got guys, go give it to him, unless he's just not very capable of doing it. And that could be it. He got sacked plenty of times in the second half. So I don't know if you had any thoughts on Thursday Night Football.
No, that's almost the exact thing I was gonna say. You need some Joe Flacco it, give him some 50-50 balls to Jay Jettas, you know. But no, the biggest thing I've noticed other than that, you touched on that part really well, is just that they had zero running game. I think they literally had 11 rush attempts. Why would you do that? 11? Of course your pass game isn't going to work. They're not scared of your run game at all. So, I mean, and you have Aaron Jones. He's decent. but five attempts for 15 yards. So I don't know what they were thinking, but definitely just a really, really bad game by them.
The Vikings go under 500 with that, and Chargers are still think they're something when they're not. So bye teams,
Very true.
yeah, there are six bye teams. Cardinals, Lions, Jaguars, Raiders, Rams, Seahawks. Now we need to, keep up because of that Chargers win, because we're second in the division, but we're tied for second in the division, meaning the Chiefs here. So again, Cardinals, Lions, Jaguars, Raiders, Rams, Seahawks. Coming off by the Ravens and the Bills, so two would-be AFC powers, except one of them right now has a lot of work to do. About to have a bye, the Browns, the Jets, the Eagles, and the Buccaneers are about to have a bye. So as far as standings go, we have in the AFC, let's see here if this is a playoff. Yeah, this is a playoff picture. Last week it was a lot of it was a lot of 4-2s, and it was Indy with 5-1 at the top. Couple of those teams lost like we'd hoped. So now Indy is number one with 6-1. New England and Denver are 5-2. Pittsburgh and Buffalo are 4-2. Then Jacksonville and Los Angeles Chargers are 4-3. So statistically, that would put us right in that 6-7 range, meaning the Chiefs, because we are 4-3. But of course, we lost to the Chargers, and we lost to Jacksonville crazily. And then right behind us is Cincinnati, and then two games behind us is Houston and Vegas. So on the NFC side, I think I grabbed that. Green Bay is, they've had their bye, right? Yeah, they've had their
Yeah.
bye. So they're actually due to that kind of half game where it's not a win, not a loss. Even though they've only won four games, they're 4-1-1. They're the number one seed. And then now the AFC and the NFC has switched where, last week the AFC was one team with one loss and the rest were 4-2. NFC was a little bit more had more variety. Instead, it's the 5-2 situation with it's actually seeds 2 through 7 are 5-2 for the NFC. All San Francisco, the Eagles, the Bucks, the Lions, the Seahawks, and the Rams are all at 5-2. And then you've got Chicago, Carolina, just outside, and Dallas one game behind there because of that tie. So that's the NFC playoff picture. All right, so off with the picks. It's game one, Dolphins 1-6 at the Falcons 3-3. I go first on this one. So boy, poor Dolphins. I mean, it's I've heard something. I was listening to a podcast and they referred to Tua believers as TuaNon, which I thought was hilarious instead of QAnon, because I am not a Tua believer in any way, shape, or form. Last week he actually had to play in something less than perfect weather. It was just rain and he could not do it, and they got blown out by the Browns. And also McDaniels is, I always forget if it's McDaniel or McDaniels.
McDaniels.
McDaniels is like, oh well, he had a real specific, who is my backup? And he publicized it, and it's Ewers and then somebody else. I just forget which. And Ewers is the backup. I expect if this goes poorly, and I expect it will, that this, if it goes poorly, this is the last two a game. I shouldn't say the last two a game. Maybe Ewers will be awful. But I expect if this is a bad loss, that's why. He also said, well, once I pick the backup, I want that to be the backup going forward. So it's a real specific thought process here. So it's possible Quinn Ewers gets in. I don't know about that, but if they don't have a good showing, I expect he'll be starting next game. So it's interesting because Tyreek is still second in receiving yards for the Dolphins. Not kidding you. That Dolphins loss at the Browns was just absolutely horrible. As I had discussed earlier, the Falcons, for all of their offense, are kind of low in touchdown conversion. And last week, in fact, so that scoring and specifically touchdown conversion is pretty bad, how they only get to 10 points, but San Francisco was being resourceful. So for me, I see Bijan having a big game, and he's going to have, it's going to be monstrous. And by the way, who I play in fantasy football, where I'm just trying to do it just so I have a better sense of the players, he has both Jonathan Taylor and Bijan Robinson. And
you're done.
I'm done. Because I think it's like
they're playing Tennessee.
I think it's Tennessee. Miami. Yeah, I think it's Tennessee. So
you're done for.
Long story short, I don't. The Falcons have a pretty good defense. I don't expect this to be close. And I think obviously the scoring does come here because the Dolphins are just so bad. So I see a big win by the Falcons. Obviously a humongous game by Bijan. I don't even want to know. We've had this string of like four straight weeks with at least one. It's at least been three straight weeks where at least one running back totals over 200 yards from scrimmage. And I think it could continue with this game. So I will take Falcons here, and I'm going to take them easy. Like, let's see. I think I actually put it on my deal already. I'll just go with that. I'm going to take Falcons by 15 here.
Yep. Yeah, no, you have a you've hit the nail on the head. I feel pretty much the same. Only thing that could be a little weird is just that they have a long injury report list. And actually Michael Penix is on there. But I fully expect him to play. He just had limited participation, so but with that, I mean, it's Miami and you have a top 10 defense in takeaways, I believe. I know they're top 10 in interceptions, and that's what Tua has been plentiful with lately. So I think it is Mike McDaniel. I said McDaniels, and then I thought about it, and I was like, wait, oh no.
Right.
So I'm having the same dilemma as you. But no, I don't expect the Dolphins to do anything good this game at all. Hopefully A-Chain will be like, hey, trade me to the Chiefs.
Right.
And but other than that, no, I can't see them. I think Dolphins might score 7 points tops. So I'm going to take Falcons. We're going to take Falcons like 30-6.
So by 24. The only good thing for Miami then, though, is that at least it's in a dome, so their offense can potentially click better, and Tua can be accurate. So there is that, but I'm still seeing a big Falcons win.
So, have you ever listened to a Tua post-game presser?
Yeah, you know, like I said, it's kind of like, as I've said before, would you blame me if I was the left tackle for the Chiefs, or would you blame Andy Reid? And so by the same token, once you're just not that good, and you're not that good in conditions... Yeah, I have listened, and it can turn into like a real like psychodrama, you know, like a psychology session, and he's just being open. But yeah,
he tries to sound smart, and he just annoys me when he talks.
Yeah, I like Tua, but again, I can't play football, and neither can Tua. I mean, I don't mean that. Like I said, a flag football would be greater if they had a 6 foot and under league. He'd be incredible. Or, you know, no. How about this? How about a hand size, you know, limitation league? Because I kind of figure his hands are also on the small side too, which is part of it. I just know he's so bad in the weather. If they had a purely indoor league under 6 foot, I might take him.
Sounds right up your alley too.
Yeah, well, don't know about all that.
Proves the point more.
Still not in my alley, that's for sure. We'd need another whole division for age and size and weight. So, all right, so we've got Dolphins-Falcons there. And then if you want to take it, you do have Bears-Ravens first.
Yes, sir. So... Bears at Ravens. It's going to be an interesting one depending on what happens with Lamar. Lamar has actually been practicing this week, so I'm hoping he plays because, dude, you're 1-5. Don't not play him. If you're 1-7, don't. Yeah, sure. He can just sit out the rest of the season, but go. You still have a chance. There's a tiny glimmer of a chance. You're playing the Bears at home. It's possible if you put Super Lamar in there, but... Even with Lamar, I think it's going to be a tough task. Bears are rolling right now, and I really like their coach. Ben has done a really, really good job. They actually did a fun little thing with him. I think they just did the mic'd up with him. And every time something good happened for the Bears, he was absolutely stone cold faced, no reaction. Like, crazy interception happened last week. His face didn't even flinch. Didn't even think about smiling. But then, he gets in the locker room and he's all rowdy and hyped up. And he's like, no, we should win. It's basically the attitude that I'm getting from him because they're playing a crappy team. And yeah, no, it's, I really, really like his mentality. So I think the Bears are actually something to, have some hope in. So that's pretty fun because it's been the first time in my lifetime that there's been any hope in them. So, Bears at Ravens. Pretty much all bars on Lamar, in my opinion. If Lamar doesn't play, it's going to be a beatdown at home. If he does play, then they have a chance. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that Lamar plays. And I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears. We're going to take Bears by six.
Bears by six. Okay, well, you covered that pretty well. I think I did actually have some notes on this. Yeah, he didn't practice on Monday, but they've got a possibility for a run if they can start winning here. I'm going to mention that. DeAndre Swift on the Bears' last two games looked pretty nice. The Bears have been relying on takeaways. They've had 15 takeaways in the last four games. On the other hand, they've had four victories in a row, so they've taken advantage of those takeaways. But on the other hand, you'd say, well, geez, are they a little bit takeaway reliant? And I think at least some of these.
Jaguars.
What you're saying is that the Jaguars also had that, looking like maybe they're a pretty good team, but they also had a lot of takeaways while they were doing it. And the other thing is with Lamar, if he can get in, I think they're also getting a couple of other people back, if I remember right. But if he gets in and they can win, after this, the Ravens face Miami, totally winnable. Minnesota, absolutely winnable. Cleveland, way winnable. The Jets, way winnable. And then Cincinnati. And by that time, Flacco will be exposed unless something crazy has happened. So, I'm not saying he couldn't have good games here and there, but think of what that stretch looks like for Baltimore if they can just start to win. And this might be the toughest one. I don't want to say the toughest because I don't quite believe in the Bears because of the turnover margin, but just as hard as any of the next six games or the next
They were
five.
like
Next five.
Minnesota. Like, if Minnesota has JJ back, maybe it'll be tough, but.
Maybe. But that you still would say the Bears are basically the toughest one of the next five games, as tough as any of the games in the next five. Miami, Minnesota, Cleveland, Jets, Cincinnati. Right? So, yeah, if he can come back, you just what Lamar does is just so unique. It's just crazy. I mean, you look at the top of the QBRs and all that, he's at the top. And then probably the reason, and even though Patrick's had a great year, he's had some good combined touchdowns, but part of the reason he's at the top of combined touchdowns is because Lamar hasn't been playing, let's be honest.
Very true.
We would still take Patrick as Chiefs fans forever and always because we know what he does in big moments. But as far as pure productivity in a regular season game, Lamar is just the champion. I mean, Josh is right there when he's rolling, don't get me wrong, but any of those two. So, yeah, it's going to be big as to whether he starts. I don't know if they're just doing gamesmanship, which isn't dumb, but on the other hand, it's like you're going to prepare like Lamar is going to play, so I don't know if it really helps. So, and since we're recording this so early, maybe we'd find out more on Friday or on Saturday. So I too will assume that Lamar's gonna play. And man, this is the one I hadn't pre-selected because I had went ahead and done my picks early. So for this one, Bears, Ravens at home. I'm gonna say the turnovers do not stack up against the Ravens. And assuming Lamar plays. And so I will take the Ravens here. Oh, I think I picked the wrong. Didn't you say the Ravens or did you say the Bears?
Bears.
Okay, you did. So we'll disagree here. Ravens, and I'm going to go by three here. All right.
Yeah, no, that's a fun one. I think it even speaks more to how good Lamar really is at the fact that him being gone, they're 1-5, and they look like the worst. Like, they look like bottom 10 teams in the league to me without him. And I don't know. That's not what I expected, but they really do. It's crazy to me. I mean, they did rob him of an MVP last year. He should have had his second one in a row, third one total.
Yeah. All right, next game. I'll take this one first. Buffalo Bills at the Carolina Panthers. The Buffalo Bills, in a way, surprising 4-2 after the AFC kind of seemed to open up early. And then the Panthers at a very surprising 4-3. I believe the Buffalo Bills are coming off of a bye. And prior to that, they had two losses. So with the Panthers being a surprising 4-3, I think this is even at the Panthers where it ends. But I said on two different teams earlier this year, the Bills and the Eagles. What did I say? I said, well, I know they haven't been looking great, but until proven otherwise, I'm going to assume they can pull out these games. And then both of them lost two in a row.
Yeah, they immediately proved you otherwise.
But that said, coming off a bye, knowing they need to get right, I just don't see how Buffalo doesn't come along. The other aspect of this is that Bryce Young, who's looked okay in the running game, has looked pretty good as well. Bryce Young has been a little bit resourceful, kind of a nice little quarterback, literally and figuratively, and doing okay. But he got an ankle problem last week, and we don't know for sure as of this Friday morning whether or not he'll be playing, in which case it's Andy Dalton time. And a particular game, Andy, he started quite a few years, but he's also probably at the end of his rope. So he's that whole, his arm's probably still okay because he hasn't had to use it as much. And his knowledge is probably pretty high, but he has not, at least he's got all week with the first stringers. So I guess he'll be kind of prepped, but I'm going to take Buffalo here. And also two Bills. Come on, Bills. You got a defensive starter and an offensive starter that both got suspended for performance-enhancing drug use. Come on, Bills. Anyway, they're both back as well.
What? I
So
did not know that.
yeah, so two important pieces are back. Rico Dowdle, hopefully Rico slash and Chuba do okay here. And I know the Buffalo defense isn't where they'd like it to be at all. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. But I just think this will be a Cook and Allen show, probably. And they'll just go ahead and win this, even in Carolina. And even a year ago, for me to even say, even in Carolina, would have been a joke, like an outside joke. But considering they're 4-3, it's not a joke, but I'll say it. Even in Carolina, I'm going to go the Bills here. Why am I picking them so low? I picked them by four, but I'll stick with it.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, not a whole lot to add. I mean, unless maybe we get some more on heroics like Bengals Steelers last week,
Right.
but I don't really see any more on heroics coming out from the Red Rifle, so I'm also just going to go ahead and take Buffalo. I'm going to take Buffalo by 14, get right game.
Okay. All right. So next game.
Jets at Bengals. So something that we both saw is that Aaron Glenn said that for strategic reasons, he's not going to be saying who's starting at quarterback this week. He probably just doesn't know, honestly. He's probably just watching them play throughout the practice week and being like, huh. He probably doesn't know who he wants to start. I mean, 50-year-old Tyrod Taylor or 23-year-old Justin Fields probably should be in his prime, you know. Who knows? We'll see who's better. But so either way, I don't really care. I think it's about the same. Tyrod will probably get you 100 more passing yards, like 50 less rushing yards. But other than that, not a lot to add there. You got Joe Flacco coming in for the Bengals. I think he'll probably do just enough to get them in the place that they need to be. They're at home against a horrible team. I mean, this could be the place that the Jets pick up their first win, but Jets also have this monstrously long injury report, so I just don't see a lot of hope, any brights, any good signs for the Jets. So I'm going to take Bengals by 10.
Okay, Bengals by 10 for you. For me, yeah, you covered most of what I'm thinking. To me, as we said earlier, it's at home, so the momentum will be a little bit easier. So yeah, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, use them like you did last week. And while the Jets defense was not good early, their last two games have only allowed 13 points, Denver and Carolina. But we'll see how that works on the road. So I think that here I'm going to go with the Bengals. And you said how much?
By 10.
Really? I just figured it's a close game because of the Bengals. And I'm sorry, because of the Bengals situation and they're playing the Jets. But I do have Bengals, but I'll go
It could
by.
still be a close game and then end up at 10 at the end
Yeah,
or shy.
absolutely. I'm going to go Bengals by one. I guess it's 21-20 or something. I don't know. All right, so.
30. The Jets have zero interceptions on the year, by the way. Just pathetic.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy considering, you know, that's where you go, well, yeah, great coordinator, but once your duties are split, you know, it's a different situation. It's not always doesn't always work as well. Okay, next game, 49ers 5-2 at the Texans at 2-4. Texans coming off a win, if I remember right. Is that right? But San Francisco just continues to outperform, and Mac Jones, at least in that system, looks like a quarterback. CMC had a huge week. When I said we had this string of 200-yard running backs from scrimmage, he had something like 210 or some crazy amount. So I don't see here how the Texans are able to do this one at all. So I'm going to take the 49ers here. I expect. I'm trying to think of whether the Texans' defense is really considered very good or not, but regardless.
Seventh in interceptions.
But at 2-4 and 5-2, even though it's at the Texans, I can see this game being pretty close just because, again, I think that the 49ers just are consistently outperforming their expectations. Let's see. Houston is. Well, they've got 14 sacks, but that's only 20th. San Francisco only has nine. San Francisco's defense, the one guy who stepped in for Warner this last week, had a really nice game. They were pretty boosted, but that was at home. But I expect they'll lean on McCaffrey, and Mac Jones will get his. I'm going to pick 49ers, and I'm going to pick them in a close game. I'm going to pick them by three. 49ers at Texans.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be possible for me to pick the underdogs this week. I just don't want to sound stupid.
Right.
Yeah, so 49ers, Texans. Texans have the worst O-line of all time. They're letting C.J. Stroud get murdered. Hopefully, it doesn't end up like a Joe Burrow career type thing. But 49ers, like he said, I mean, they keep on exceeding their expectations. And I think a big part of that is what you said earlier, that they just have a culture there, and they know how to win games when it's time to win games. They don't make stupid mistakes at the end of games. And they're going into Houston. I don't think Houston even believes in themselves, so I don't think it's going to be too tall of a task. It may be somewhat close throughout the duration of the game, but I got Houston by, or I mean, I got San Fran by 7.
Okay, it turns out I had it hidden so I couldn't see until I picked the favorite. But then I have a thing that says, did they pick the favorite or not? And we both picked the underdog there. So you have two underdogs. This week we're trying to get to three. I only have
San
one.
Fran's the underdog?
Yeah, it's probably like a point and a half. I'll probably open up the little thing after we pick it to see. But it's
Makes
probably
no sense.
really, really close, like a point and a half, 49ers at Texans, if I
Yeah.
had to guess. All right, so that was me first. And so if you're ready for Browns Patriots, go ahead and hit that.
Yes, sir. All right, so Cleveland at New England. I really like how Drake May is looking. It's been one of the surprising things to me this year is that Drake May just looks excellent. I mean, seriously, he doesn't even have, man, he's like not even kidding. He's in like the top five for MVP conversation right now, I believe. I mean, his stats are just, they're just there. And the wins are there. And the, I mean, I think he brings really good, he seems like a good locker room guy. Like his teammates absolutely love him. I really, really like him so far and what he's got going with Vrabel. I know we've said on the show before, I like Vrabel more than you do. But yeah, I mean, he's just proved me right. I really believe in Mike Vrabel a lot. I think he's really, really good culture guy at the very worst. And so I believe in this team. I think they're going to be in the playoffs. They might win a game, maybe even two, but I expect them to win like one playoff game. And they've got Buff, or I mean Cleveland coming into their home, and they got good old Dylan Gabriel playing. Will this be the first Shadur sighting? Probably not. I think they're a little too stubborn. I don't really have anything to say about the Browns, really. I really like Quinshon Judkins. Other than that, I don't really have any. I don't really have anything for the Browns to say, honestly. They have a long injury report list. I don't really think that they're good at all. So I'm just going to go ahead and take New England by 14 here.
Okay, I'll add some commentary, but I had already picked the Patriots by 13, so we're in agreement there. But as to commentary, it is interesting anyway that Cleveland at least is finally coming off of a win. And also, it's interesting here that the Patriots, of the teams that they have beaten, only Carolina had a defense ranked in the top 10. And so two of those victories have come against teams with defenses ranked in the bottom third, Miami and Tennessee. And so, Cleveland looking a little bit better last week, but again, it was weather and it was Tua. So I just put a big asterisk on whether that's them turning it around or not. But at least maybe that adds some intrigue. But for me, it's not intrigue likely that New England would lose, just maybe that at different points you kind of wonder if they might lose, or you kind of wonder if it's in fluke territory. Or it's just closer than you think at some point. So I am also obviously going with the Patriots big here for those reasons. And Dylan Gabriel's been fine. Like you said, Quinshon Judkins, wasn't he the truth last week? I think he was the truth. I think he
Yeah.
got a lot of yards last week. So, maybe if they can pull together a defensive performance and Judkins, as far as I know, Dylan Gabriel's been pretty pedestrian in his passing. So again, no, he doesn't have any real gifts outside of just kind of a smart quarterback, a pedestrian quarterback who has so far tended not to be too mistake prone. But that's it. He doesn't have any downfield throws. League worst, 10 of 30 for 170 on throws of 10 air yards or more since taking over as a starter. So, I just don't think that the Browns have enough, even if they had the door open a little bit with turnovers or something, that they would really take over or have a chance to really go through that door. Because, like you said, Drake May has really looked like a top five quarterback, and he looks like the future of that franchise. So, yep, Patriots by 13 here. All right, next game. This is Giants and Eagles. Well, I'd like this to be interesting, but I just think the Giants are a growing organization. Now, the Giants did beat them last time, but Hey, guess what? The Eagles realized the Giants beat them last time. So that, you know, it doesn't really play out in this case to, hey, they're about even teams. No, and you know, you can say it's divisional, but the Eagles are starting to look a little bit better. It's no one's as confusing in his success, and yet I believe in his success, and how could you not now that he's won a Super Bowl, than Jalen Hurts. It's so like when he sees downfield throws, he takes them. He's like, he's probably one of the better open pass decision makers. Like, okay, I'm going to get that guy. He's open. And maybe a little bit of playground, but these two guys can get open because those two guys, the Slim Reaper and AJ Brown, they got like 300 yards between them. Hurts, he threw for like 320. And like 299 or 302 were just to those two guys. So, you know, when it comes to the Eagles, I guess if you can just stop the downfield throws, maybe you have a chance. Barkley hasn't been doing anything, so surprisingly, still waiting for him to go off. But I don't see the Giants becoming a better managed team against a division rival. And I know they won last time. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to take away from that. But I still see them just not having everything zipped up and buttoned up. So short of just like, well, that wasn't expected. We really didn't think they had that in them type of a loss by the Eagles. And now that's not left anymore. So Giants at Eagles. I'm taking Eagles and I'm taking them big. But that said, I mean, I like how Jackson Dart has been resourceful. I do. But he's just... It's nice to have a guy that's going to go downfield and you go, all right, I love the balls of our rookie quarterback. And eventually that's good. He's not been super successful downfield. He just keeps slinging it. And that can be good. But overall here, I don't see it coming to much. I like Jackson as a starting quarterback right now, as long as he continues to improve on his just rookie moxiness and ability to run. But not here. So I've got Eagles by 17.
Yeah, I like that analysis that basically they're going to respect him a lot more this time and probably prep a lot differently this time because they're two young guys who have been explosive and electric, and I think that they're just going to be better at that than what the Giants are. And because of that, you know, I also have the Eagles winning this. I mean, it'll probably be a little closer than that. The Eagles, we know, haven't been amazing at scoring. But last week, they looked a lot better at that. They looked a lot better at, you know, throwing the football. So they're showing signs that they're getting better and wanting to actually play football and not just be petty and get to third and one, fourth and one every single set. So with that being said, you know, I think the Eagles, and of course, they have a winning culture there now. I'll take them. I'll go ahead and take Philly. By 10.
We have finished the midday slate now to afternoon slates, and this would be Buccaneers at Saints.
Yeah, Buccaneers at Saints. So you got 5-2, but very, very dinged up going into New Orleans Saints Superdome. 1-6 Saints. Worst, not worst, but 28th in points per game for the Saints. They just don't have it. I think a lot of it is their coach. His face gives me weird vibes, so I just don't think he'll be there long term. Looking at him, he doesn't look like he has any type of grit, or he just looks soft. I don't know. There's something about his face I don't like, and I don't think he's going to be a good coach for them. I mean, they're 1-6. I'm serious. It's all about his face, though.
You're talking Saints, Kellen Moore, right? He kind of has a doughy face, doesn't he? Also,
yes, I don't like his face. It's like Humpty
Dumpty. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you want high level analysis, you're not. This is not the type of analysis you're going to get everywhere. I don't like his face. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So. Buccaneers, the only way that they could really lose this is just because of their giant stack of an injury report and the fact that they're in the dome. Saints home field advantage is really good, in my opinion, but they just haven't They've won one game, so I mean, what can you even say for them? Spencer Rattler has looked pretty decent, but he has one win as a starter, so it's just, yeah, like you can have good stats. You can have decent stats with a good ratio on your touchdown to interception, but you got to win some games, man. So I don't know. Maybe he needs to pull the lid GM and get his coach fired. With that being said, I don't really have much else to say there. I got Tampa by 20.
Tampa by 20. Holy cow. So that's funny because if you didn't hear it, guys, that was pull a lead GM like LeBron, how he always tries to. Yeah.
Which he doesn't even have that type of status yet to be doing
No,
those
you
types of
can't. You
things. He
can't
could
do
lose
it.
his job just as easily.
He can't do it. Kellen Moore at least gets this year and then some because what how does he just get at least get this year? Because they've got Spencer Rattler. So, then whatever he does or doesn't do with Spencer Rattler and or the backup, he gets the whole year. So for me, the Saints, like you said, the Saints here and there have looked like they could be competitive, but we haven't seen Alvin Kamara has not had a good year. He's not been awful, but he's been very pedestrian. I don't want to say he's cooked because I don't know the line situation, but right now, as a team who at least was in the running back market, I don't think we should be in the running back market, honestly. But that might be where we are. I would not want the Chiefs to take on Alvin Kamara unless it's for, pennies on the dollar. I just don't see a lot going on there. But like you said, on the Buccaneers side, man, it was heartbreaking. Evans lost again. That was such a weird injury because it really was just landing. I figured he got just blown up, and then I looked, it was just landing. A collarbone and a concussion. I thought maybe he got absolutely hammered into the ground or something, or where a full weight would come down on a receiver's shoulder because they went up high for a pass, the full weight of the defensive back, and the shoulder's just going to be in a weird position because they're trying to catch it first. It wasn't that. So it's just heartbreaking that Evans is out. The two rookies, Johnson and Johnson, have really, let's see here. I don't feel like they did a whole lot after 2 weeks ago, but that Tez Johnson did okay. So it's going to need Igbuka, who I believe is going to be there. And so with that pass, and it's going to need Sterling Shepard. So yeah, I think that this should be an easy win, even on the road in New Orleans, in one way. But I, for some reason, am having a feeling that the Saints at 1-6 are gonna make it closer than we think. But so I have the Buccaneers only by 4. Next game, Cowboys and Broncos. That said, we need to keep track. We needed 3 underdogs. You have 2 underdogs already, so you only need
I
3 in the
do.
next 4 games. Yeah, so you picked the Bears, who are an underdog. And
Wow.
how are the Bears an underdog at the Ravens? Because
I
people
guess
are.
just because they're at home and
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Lamar's back.
And you picked the 49ers. So I'm at 1 underdog, and we said in a 13-game slate, we need to pick 3 underdogs. So I still need to pick 2, and you still need to pick just one more underdog. So just so you know, what's coming up is Broncos, Cowboys at Broncos, Titans at Colts, Packers at Steelers, and Commanders at Chiefs. So we know one of them we're not picking the underdog for. So you're really down to just 3 games, and you only have to pick one of those as an underdog. So, okay, Cowboys at Broncos. Cowboys, obviously, that offense is looking great with both of their wide receivers back, but it is their offense. And I know they looked a little bit better on their defense last week. And the Broncos, the opposite. I mean, the Broncos are just not that impressive. I know people keep thinking they are. They're not. Okay. And I know that just sounds like a Chiefs fan, but as I said, they were down 19 to nothing. And then the week before, was that the overseas game that they barely won against the Browns? I mean, so, you can say they're resourceful, and I guess you can say that, but to me, how do you go down 19 to nothing in that game? So I don't believe in the Broncos. However, statistically, they're pretty good on defense. And I can't remember if they've relied much on turnovers. But the Cowboys are just so offensively gifted, but overall, entirely not gifted on defense. So this really is kind of a defense versus an offense scenario. CeeDee Lamb and Pickens. Pickens has really looked like he cares about playing wide receiver at the high level and high skill level, like the highest of skill level, like super ball skills, super concentration, catching on the sidelines, something we didn't see last year at all. So
And we haven't seen him attack people for no reason this year.
I mean, Pickens is looking, and CD, I cannot tell you. I mean, the number of injuries he comes back from, and then he's just like a freaking robot. I mean, I know he got injured, but he looked great this last week, and that those complementary pieces. And I know there's a lot of other aspects to the teams, but that's where I lean. I tend to lean towards, what the quarterbacks are doing and what the receivers are doing. Javonte Williams also looked nice last week. I think it's Javonte, but they're running back. You got Dobbins on the Denver side, who I think at least he had a pretty good game as well. Mims was okay. I think I thought he used Engram a little bit more than he did last week. Maybe I'm wrong there as far as Denver. I think Dallas can take this, and I'm going for Dallas here. And plus, I need the underdog anyway. But I do believe in this one. I can also see the Broncos somehow pulling it away by 10. But the Cowboys just have that catch-up ability. So I can see this being a close game regardless. And again, I don't believe in Bo Nix. I believe that given the right script and the door wide open, he will be smart enough to walk through the door. And he'll run a little bit on them, so that will be interesting. But I'll go Cowboys by 3 here.
I just want to start by saying this. The people who are impressed by the Broncos 5-2 record are the people who don't watch the games. If you watch them play football, it's not impressive. It's not. The win that they had last week, that quarter alone was insanely impressive. But the 3 quarters before that were absolutely putrid and disgusting. I mean, seriously, just awful football. And the games before that that they've been winning, not impressive. Not impressive to me at all. They just sneak out wins, and they're going to get exposed soon. Probably this game will be close because, like you said, Cowboys don't have much of a defense. And so, again, people are going to be more impressed by the Broncos this week because their offense is going to score some points, which is something that they don't do. I think I'm still going to lean Cowboys here. Just because, I mean, they're second in points per game. They're rolling. They got a healthy receiving core. Dak is fine. I mean, Dak can sling it any given week. It's just the Cowboys are so freaking unpredictable because they do this crap where they look absolute, like, wow, why couldn't they go kill a good team? Honestly, like, they look amazing and unstoppable. And then they will just put up a dud and score like 12 points or some crap. So with them being unpredictable, I could definitely look like a fool for this one. Right now, I'm going to take Dallas and I'm going to take them by 7. And I think it's going to be probably like a 38-31 situation. I don't think it'll be low scoring.
Okay, yeah, and to your point of schedule and results, I would be interested. I know the Giants are, developing a little bit compared to where they were, but who else has only had a plus, let's see here, a plus 3 point differential in total in playing the Giants and the Jets? That's not good. And then they're like, "Well, yeah, but we beat Philadelphia." You did. You get credit for that. It wasn't anywhere near the comeback that the Giants was. But like I said, the Giants' comeback was really a in all reality, it was you get real credit for about 17 points of that, which wouldn't have allowed you to win. So, but yeah, a 3 point differential playing the Jets and the Giants. And they did beat Cincinnati, but they were a true dumpster fire at that point. And they did lose closely in at the Colts, so that's where some of their street cred is coming from, right? But otherwise, they beat Tennessee and they lost by 3 points to the Chargers back when people were like, man, these are the AFC West powers because people are stupid.
And they beat the absolute worst version of the Eagles. I watched that game, and with the second half, the Eagles had to have netted like 50 yards total that whole second half. I mean, I'm not kidding. There were at least two drives in a row late in the fourth quarter where the Eagles had three and outs. I think it was three, though. I could be wrong, but there were multiple three and outs in the fourth quarter. They were terrible. They were terrible. And then they lost to the Giants. So, I mean, they beat the absolute worst version of the Eagles. I'm not impressed by him at all. And also, Sean Payton's just a. He, I hate him. Also,
Oh,
another coach whose face I hate.
I got to give him credit. I almost did this on an episode. I was trying to record around that a victory not being impressive, and I didn't get it finished. But he did something that I love and think they most coaches have to be a little bit more into considering. And with a Giants offensive drive, the only idea is, well, we're going to need clock for sure if by chance we have a chance to come back. So during a Giants offensive drive, I think in about 5 minutes to go, he took two timeouts. All right. And I think that that's a smart idea in some situations because when you're saving timeouts just so you can have a 3 second play and then another 7 second play because there's only 45 seconds or a minute and 20 on the clock and you got to go all the way downfield for a touchdown. That's only worth so much. But if you do it early, now it really does depend. Like, do we have more than a touchdown we got to get back to and running out of time, right? But early on, you save 40 seconds, right? Now, so the whole game script is, well, we've got to stop them too. So if we don't stop them, it doesn't matter. But if we stop them, we have it multiple times, we have a chance. Those saving 40 seconds at a time are important. And too many coaches just kind of wait and keep all their timeouts and not all of them and not always, but I thought that was a really good move that I always wonder, like, I think you'd be better to save the whole play clock here because you can potentially get two, three plays off, even four if you throw some, outs, right? So he did that twice in one of the later drives for the Giants where they ran a Cam Scataboo twice and both times they were behind the chains as far as not it was first down and second down and they ran him twice trying to run the clock and Peyton went ahead and did a timeout and saved himself 80 seconds. Only had 37 seconds at the end to go get the field goal. So I thought that was smart. Okay, so we both have the Cowboys here and then yours if you want to jump into it is the Titans at the Colts.
So Titans looked better last week because they got rid of their awful coach, and we knew that anything. I mean, I could have threw Courage the Cowardly Dog in at head coach, and it would have been a better product than what Callahan was giving. And so that's exactly what happened. I mean, they still lost, but they looked better last week. You know, they scored some points. They're still 32nd in points per game versus first in points per game in the Colts this week. So that's going to be.
Whoa.
That's exciting. Yeah. Literally worst versus best.
It's exciting
But
if you're a Colts
so.
fan and you want to go get blasted at the game. That's what it's exciting for the rest of us. Not so much.
But
Yeah, go
yeah,
ahead.
so you've got Tennessee at Indy, and I don't have a lot of game analysis to say here. I'm going to take the Colts by 17.
17. That's got to be one of the bigger spreads. I'm gonna put in your deal and see if you pick the favorite or not. That's a joke. So I don't think there's a lot to be said here. The interesting thing that came out last week was does oh geesh, what's their rookie Cam
Can
the yeah Cam Ward. I'm like Cam Jones. No. And I had another one, Cam Evans. Okay, Cam Ward. That whole idea of are his hands a little small because he just lost it, and I think it's probably much ado about a little, but not much ado about nothing. because it turns out his hands at 6 foot one and like 60 pounds heavier than me or 50 pounds are maybe a quarter inch bigger than my hands. So they're surprisingly small hands for someone who's 6 foot one and weighs about, I knew when they go to the draft and they weigh 212 is because they put on some muscle or they, you know, ate four things of pizza the night before. Sometimes they're, you know, they're trying to be a little bit, look a little heavier. But still, he's supposedly 6'1", which is, and I'm only 5'8", and his hands are only like, I don't know, 8.5 or something like that. So
I guarantee that's how my hands are compared to yours too. I also have small hands for my height. Which, ladies, if you didn't know, I'm 6'3". It has a dashing jawline.
That has nothing to do with anything else. To be clear, those rules are just thumb rules. No pun intended. They don't stand all the way around all the way. You know, that's what bell curves are about. And I find anyway. Anyway, back to the Titans Colts. Who was picking first? So, yeah, I think that here, Titans and Colts, I think it's obvious. I'm just going to throw in a couple of things there. But, yeah, Cam, I just thought that was interesting. I do think that we'll see. So we'll go Colts here, and it's at the Colts. So I expect Taylor to absolutely feast, and it's going to be bad because the Colts defense is pretty good, and Indiana Jones is – He's no even Darnold, I don't think, but I will, you know, say he has a nice game there. I guess I won't one up y'all. Go 14 points for the Colts. So then I've got Packers at Steelers. This one is interesting because you go, man, what about this Aaron Rodgers kid? Have you heard of this kid? It's like kind of impressed by this kid. No, you know, we thought, and I even think I did a sports episode months ago, but it may have been just sometimes I try to record one and decide not to post it. And that I said, you know, we know what Aaron's going to be. And he's going to have some games where he looks like, hey, that could be old Aaron. Oh, my gosh. And then he's going to have other games where you go, yep, well, that is old Aaron, like from last year, old Aaron, right? And then he's going to have a bunch that are just kind of mediocre. You know, on average, he's going to be an average quarterback. And for the most part, he is definitely over-delivered on my expectations. And one can look and say, well, you know, he did have a bad injury. And even for someone who's, is he 41 now, whatever he is, it's like, there still is this thing called healing, and even for young players, you go, well, a lot of times bad injuries, it's really a year and then some afterward where you really start to feel better. You know, you're really back to full strength. So I think that we could say, I mean, that's the overlay I'm going to put over the top of it. He looks better because it has been more than a full calendar year, and he has looked quicker. He has looked a little bit quicker in the pocket. And I do think that's a healing thing, because I thought it was going to be a major problem again this year. In a little bit better, I shouldn't say a little bit better culture, quite a bit better culture than on the Jets. Just not a totally premier winning culture, but a good, solid, like, think of like a Vrabel-type culture, obviously, there with the Steelers. So they've been doing well. I don't think they've been any kind of world beaters as to offense, but Aaron Rodgers has been making good decisions, at times getting it out of his hands quickly when he needs to, because he doesn't want to get sacked. And here and there, he's more elusive in the pocket than I kind of thought he would be. That said, with the Packers, let me pull this up really quick.
And let me say also, the Steelers fans still remember those last couple of years of Ben Roethlisberger, so any mobility is mobility to them.
That's true, and I would say his mobility is better, and I wasn't sure if it would be, actually.
But yeah, no, I agree, because he definitely does just look more agile. Not that he looks agile, but he looks more agile this year than he did, for sure.
Yeah. So Green Bay at that 4-1-1 and the Steelers at 4-2. Yeah, I mean, Metcalf against Green Bay, I don't know. I feel like Green Bay is a decent defense. We'll see what Tucker Kraft does as well as Dobbs. So that'll be interesting coming from the Packers side. Jordan Love can have his games. where you're like, well, that's interesting right there. Maybe he might be a guy. And then he's just kind of a little bit of an enigma. Enigma. And I just thought of that because I said accidentally, because I know his name, Jackson Smith Njigba. And a couple of episodes ago, I said Enigma just because I missaid it. I know his name. It's not Enigma. But Jordan is a little bit of an enigma. But, I think the Packers take this at the Steelers. And I will take the Packers by 4, even though I think the Steelers have looked very stable. And that might be an underdog pick. We will look at that column. I'm trying to avoid it until after you make your pick here. Packers at Steelers. I got Packers by 4.
Yeah, so this will be a fun one. I think it's going to be a really good game. Sunday night football. We'll have the good old. Now, here's a guy. I did that last week
Right,
too,
that's
but
okay.
we're going to keep doing it. So I think having old quarterbacks mixed with Chris Collinsworth commentating, I think it's fun. I like it. I know a lot of people hate him. I really like listening to him.
I like him.
I just think it's funny at this point. But the Packers have a tall injury report. And so, I mean, that plays into it a lot. The Steelers are 30th in passing yards per game. So, yes, Aaron has been making good decisions and has a good touchdown to pick ratio and stuff. But if they're going to beat the Packers, they need to have a little more production in throwing the ball. So they're going to need at least 250 from them, if they want to beat the Packers. Yeah, I think it's going to be a hard game for them, but they are at home. It's in the bright lights. And kind of like you said, me personally, I've never believed in Jordan Love. I mean, I think he's fine. He's definitely good enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but I don't think he might see one NFC conference game in his career. Maybe. This one's kind of a toss-up for me right now. I know the Steelers like to float just above 500, so they could drop this game. I don't know. For some reason, I want to take the Steelers, so I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm going to take them by 3 in a Sunday night thriller.
Great. That wasn't an underdog pick, so I still only have two underdogs.
What? Pittsburgh's the underdog at home? How is Pittsburgh the underdog at home in that close of a record matchup? But Baltimore's the favorite at home, 1-5 against Chicago.
Well, maybe somebody just goes, okay, we know how this works on the questionable, and they just feel really comfortable that Lamar is gonna play.
And Houston's 2-4 at home against the 5-2 Niners. Come on, bro. And they're the favorites.
They are. That's crazy, but it is a one
It
and a
makes no
half.
sense.
I need to pick one more underdog because we obviously know we're going to pick the Chiefs next, and I ain't getting the underdog here. So there. So let me just get it out of the way. Let's see here. Where did I
Titans over Colts, easy.
pick the favorite? I really don't. Okay, I picked the
This is
favorite.
a hard week to pick an underdog.
It is, and we needed 3, but I think that's a good rule because 33 this week it won't work, but it makes sense. We're not going to look week by week. Yeah, well, this one it won't be the 33% because then we're doing the same thing. We're guessing at it instead of guessing at it. So we can't
Yes.
change the rules week by week. So, man, I didn't even have anything that close. I picked the Bengals only by 1.
Aaron Glenn is on the other side of the field. Don't do that. The safe ones to switch up would be Dallas, Denver, or Green Bay, Pittsburgh, because those are both going to be good games.
No, I think the Dallas game, that was the underdog. I did pick the
You picked
Cowboys.
Denver.
I picked the Cowboys by only
I'm tripping.
three. Yeah, I have no idea who I'm going to switch out because Saints, Buccaneers, I did have the Buccaneers in a closer game. There's no chance I believe in the Bears against the Ravens if Lamar starts.
I thought you said they're the favorite.
They are. I have to pick an underdog. I pick the Ravens. So I have to pick an underdog, and that you picked that one too, and I hate to just agree. We only have one disagree so far, but I have to pick an
But
underdog, and all these games are
this week
so
is
bad.
special. Luther's easily stopping the Bills, right? Right.
There's no chance if Lamar starts that he's going to let them lose against Caleb. Zero chance. But we've seen it when the quarterback comes back and you have belief, it's like the rest of the units tighten up. They just do. It's crazy, but it's true. So
he might not even play though. So
yeah. So just because of that, I'm picking the Bears by one, and now I've got my underdog. I've got my three underdogs already, so I don't have to worry about it against the Chiefs. I'll go ahead and go first on the Chiefs against the Commanders. A, do we know that Daniels is even playing?
He's expected to miss this game.
And who's the backup then?
Mariota.
I don't even know what to say about this outside of talking about the Chiefs. It's just so obvious. A better role. Okay, this is another one where, you know, Chris Jones only had 22 snaps last week. That's what the type of, it's, that's not going to happen again. That was a historic 30 first downs to three first downs. So it's not going to happen again, but it can be the type of thing. Like the max he needed to do was 22. This wasn't even, we're far enough ahead. Let's swap people out on the defensive line so he can just be on the side. No, that's all he needed to be in because there was only 30 offensive snaps for the Raiders. And so we don't expect that type of rest. But the Chiefs can, and I think they will, just go ahead. And it is a 3-4 team versus a 4-3 team. So they are heavily favored, spoiler alert. But I can see it being a little bit close. It is one of those games where sometimes with division rivals, when we decide not to focus, all of a sudden it is that 7-point game with 5 minutes left. And then we don't finish a drive. But I do believe that with Rashee back and, you know, now we're the Super Bowl favorites, I think that we will continue because it's a new thing. We've got our new toy, right? We're not just kind of stuck in kind of standard. I think we're still going, well, what do we do with Rashee this week? What are we going to do with? Because remember, it's not just that Rashee is new. It's the first time Worthy, Brown, and Rashee the last week that they've been on the field together. So with everything so new, I don't expect them to kind of fall into like this moderate place. Also, the defense is rested. Right now, the offense looks so flippin' multiple. I think that the Washington is kind of a middle-of-the-road defense, but I don't have it right in front of me. So maybe, you know, Pacheco and Smith and Hunt also have a pretty good, you know, low end but reasonable and respectful production. I expect that that will happen. Brashard got a lot of snaps in that fourth quarter where everybody rested, but they also gave him a good amount of snaps before the fourth quarter, not just screens. He looked great on screens again. I expect them to run him a bit more just because this is another, especially if we get ahead, but regardless, this is a whole new recipe, right? Like now we've got these three receivers on the field for only the second time together, and we're mixing in Breshard Smith for the first time. And so we're really going to be trying to figure things out. I'd like to see what Thornton does as well. Used him well last week. It's just so multiple. Our defense is looking good. We're hitting every single stride. JCM, I don't know if you're supposed to abbreviate his name, but Kroski Merritt. He didn't have as good of a game last week. I think I have him on my fantasy and was relying on him. He didn't have a great game. And with Mariota back then or playing, maybe they lean on him, but I just don't. Is Debo supposed to be back? That would be helpful.
I think he's playing.
Yeah, and that'll be helpful, but I just don't see it coming to anything with Washington. So I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win this one easy. But I'll say just because Kansas City do what it do as favorites that they actually don't hit the spread. And I'll go, which is a whole 12.5. I spoiled that, but you probably figured it's pretty big. I'll go Chiefs by 10 here.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you covered a lot there that I wanted to as well. Pretty good right there. But both their receivers, Terry McLaurin and Debo, were both full participants. So
Ooh. That's
going to help Marcus a lot. Also, though, I mean, in a week where you have a backup playing, you know, typically you're going to rely on the run more. They're actually first in rushing yards per game. which is surprising, but I think a lot of that is because of Jaden Daniels. He tends to scramble quite a bit. It says he has 211 rushing yards, and then the Kroski Merritt dude has 388 on the year, and he's averaging 5 yards per carry. So that's going to be interesting, but I bet you'll see another just Spags effect, and we'll shut him down completely. Force Marcus to throw. Hopefully, he gives us a couple picks. We could use some, but Terry McLaurin and Debo, that's going to help him a lot. Bobby Wagner's full participant. I mean, which he isn't what he used to be, but he's still Bobby Wagner. No Zach Ertz. I don't think he didn't participate at all this week. So that's huge for us. Typically, tight ends are our biggest threat for
Yeah,
some
you're right.
reason.
McLaurin practiced fully. Yeah, interesting.
Yep. And so did Debo. So you got their 1-2 back, but we also got our 1-2-3 back. And we have a pretty good four too. So I'm pretty confident in us as far as that goes. I mean, if we just keep letting Patrick wheel and deal and spread the ball around, we're gonna be just fine. I liked our mix last week. We had a good amount of screens that were not stupid screens. It wasn't like third and oh, it's third and 24 screen. We did them at the right times, and we spread the ball around to a ton of different players. We had a Noah Gray sighting early on. We had big Kelsey, but then he went quiet. But that was fine because we got it to our guys. I'm just really hoping that we continue that trend of spreading the ball around because, I mean, that's just how you confuse defenses. So I really, really like what we have potentially. So we should win this game. We should win this game by two possessions. I could see it because it's Monday Night Football and we like to look stupid on big stages. I could see it being super close, maybe having a couple bad turnovers and it's like 23-17 or something at the end. But I'm going to just assume that that won't happen and we're going to take it 31-20.
31-20, so an 11-point win by the Chiefs. Both of us are actually under the spread there, but again, we're not counting that. So yeah, man, who is there? But Lattimore. Lattimore got burnt a couple times last week as well. So I'm glad for the Commanders because I like Daniels that he has both of his weapons back, even though he's not back yet. I am a little concerned with Daniels. One of the potential knocks out of college is he's a little bit of a light frame guy, but he's had these little dings here and there, so it does concern me. This is a weird hammy thing, but it was the strangest hammy thing you'll see because it was on a tackle. So I'm hoping that he gets healthy soon because he's fun to watch and I think he's a pretty good quarterback. Just knock on wood, be realize your blessings when you just have one of those durable, sturdy quarterbacks. Because a lot of QBs miss games, especially as we're going towards this dual threat quarterback. They can, got a pretty slingy for an arm, but they tend to be in the lighter frame, not like the, classic 1990s and 2000s quarterbacks where they're all 6'4" and about 230, just so it's hard to break them when like you want a bigger tree if you're going to run a car into a tree if you want your tree to survive. That's kind of the way the way they viewed quarterbacks back then. Like, let's make them real big, and they didn't have to be very mobile. But that did then the sturdiness went in the other direction because they got hit so often. And they hadn't changed the rules yet, and some of them still got hurt. But the guys who survived, those guys were freaking oak trees. I mean, how you survive all those hits that almost no quarterback even has to take anymore. And they were all totally legal, landing on your legs and everything else. Was just crazy, like the Boomer Esiason and the type. Because remember, most of his career, it's not like he had a super strong team around him. A couple years he did. So yeah, I'm hoping the best for Daniels. But yeah, we've hit our mark on underdogs barely because I did change that to the Bears. So we've got Bears. We both have Bears, Ravens, and actually we picked the same underdogs because I'm a copycat. But it is what it is. And did we even disagree? Yeah, we disagreed, but only once. It's just a weird week for that. So Right now, I'm not going to have any minimum. And maybe we'll have something at some point where it's like two disagreements, you know, must disagree twice. That's all we have.
I'm not stressing out with this week because it's just odd. Just an odd week. A bunch of just like you got the 32nd in points score or yards or something. I think it's points per game versus the first in the Titans and Colts. So I'm not that, you know, and that's kind of how the whole week is trending. It's just a lot of blowout potential. So
yeah, we are mentioning that because we before we recorded, because we did peek at it, and just as far as the average, because I have to put it in my sheet so I know whether we're picking underdogs or not quickly. And the average spread this week is 6.84. So typically, I would think it'd be more on averages if I had to guess. You know, some of the ones, you think that they're going to probably beat him pretty good, but it's going to be somewhat of a game. That's a 5.5-point spread. Any given week, I'm sure there's probably two-ish that are, you know, seven or more, maybe three-ish. But this week, we've got 7.5, 7.5. We've got 7, 7, 7.5. 14.5, 12.5, that's six different games that are at least a touchdown favorite. So that's half of, almost half the slate. I mean, that included Thursday, but 6 out of 13. So that's pretty big. And then I suppose it happens, and it's not super rare, but for two different games in that same week, then for also two games in addition to be over 12 with the Chiefs, the Commanders, and with the Colts, Titans, got to be pretty rare. And usually kind of a 3, 3.5 is somewhat typical, 2, 2.5, 3.5. We only have like three games within that. It's the 49ers, Texans at 1.5. We've got Cowboys, Broncos at 3.5 with the Broncos favored. And we've got the Packers, Steelers at 3. Typically that, you know, within 3 or within 3.5, it's probably a majority of the games. So it is a pretty weird week. We'll see what happens. Remember, we had that really odd week as far as how many underdogs won here a few weeks back. So it's probably not super exciting this week. There's only a couple big ones, but at least we know that if the underdog wins, it will be quite a big upset for the most part. Okay, guys, any last words before you head off to your fun Friday week? I mean, Friday, good weekend with your guests.
Stay cool out there, man. I don't know. I mean, listen to the scales of truth if you want to be informed and possibly get your blood rates up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and I haven't put anything up that is super blood-raising here in the last week. I recorded one, and my blood was raised enough that I just decided not to put it up. Because even Tyson can go, that's too ranty. It's hard to believe if you listen to some of them. But, yeah, I'm not really happy with the state of the world and the state of our current administration that has a lot of promise but continues to here and there fumble it away like Herbert when it really matters. It's, you know, the difference is the administration has potential. So, yeah, I'm not really happy. There's plenty of things to not be very happy about. And just all in all, the nutshell is too much busyness instead of enough focus on the things that we care about. That's the administration nutshell. I did vote for him. And there are obviously other things societally that's going on that I've thought about but haven't put up there. But you're right. A lot of good things over there in the Scales of Truth. Well over 300 episodes now. You can catch up. And the other thing I've done, we had mentioned that in Spotify, it does the chapter auto generation. And I just thought, you know what? I'll bet, having a little bit of a data background and techie background, that it might be that Spotify does that just because the audio is being uploaded. It doesn't know whether or not it's a brand new episode. So I decided to re-upload audio in a bunch of older episodes. And it did auto-generate some chapters. So some of my Scales of Truth older episodes are a little bit more navigable now with those auto-chapters generated. So there's some really, really good ones out there if you want to really, really find out about some things. And again, some of them now are a little bit more easy to navigate with those automatic chapters. Okay. Well, with that, thanks, everybody. First of all, thanks to Marcus for helping out. And Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.